Petrangelo shoots, save, rebound, score! Nicholas Roy ties it! Rebound goal for Nick Roy.
Live from the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com.
A steal for Kolesar, charging out. Kolesar, the righty, shoots and scores! Kolesar on the breakaway.
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for access with the team, exclusive player interviews, and breaking news from around the National Hockey League. Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace hanging out inside T-Mobile Arena. Chris Chapman back inside the Findlay Chevrolet, Fox Sports Las Vegas studios. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215, home of the four games remain in the regular season for the Vegas Golden Knights. Another opportunity to punch their ticket to the postseason presents itself tonight against the Minnesota Wilds. Every time these two teams get together, it's usually entertaining, to say the very least. There are some shenanigans on both sides. It's usually a physical game. So we're going to dive into Vegas, Minnesota throughout the next 2 hours. We've got the Salmon Ash Legal Minute coming up a little bit later on in hour number one. The Michael E. Minden Hockey Parlay Contest, that's coming at you in hour number two. We're going to dig into the NHLPA poll, let you know what players around the league feel about their contemporaries. It's eye-opening in some degrees. Maybe our eye tests don't match up with the players that are actually playing the games, so we'll dig into that as well. We've got one-timers, news and notes from around the National Hockey League. That's coming at you in hour number two. But we start off today with some news. And it's just like the Golden Knights to be newsworthy even when they're not playing hockey. Yesterday, an off day, Vegas Golden Knights announced Noah Hanifin, 8-year contract extension, $7.35 million AAV. The number on the contract's ridiculous. It just is. You're not going to find a better bit of business from any general manager in the league this year than what Kelly McCrimmon was able to do in acquiring Noah Hanifin, allowing Noah to settle in, to experience what life is like playing hockey here in Vegas, and then getting him at that number. It's wild. I would have never imagined Hanifin would be a $7.35 million guy on an AAV coming off of the season that he's had, the importance that he brings to a team. He's a top pair defenseman, and there will be next season 28 other defensemen making more money than Noah Hanifin. But the fact of the matter is, it is a great bit of business for the Vegas Golden Knights. It's a fantastic opportunity and a great fit and a great spot for Noah Hanifin. It benefits everybody. And so what you were able to do in signing the extension is you turn a really good trade into a slam dunk, into an automatic, into an all-timer for Kelly McCrimmon. And, you know, to be frank, he's had quite a few of those over the course of his career as general manager of the Vegas Golden Knights. But I'm not talking about Noah Hanifin. I mean, I am, but I'm easing you in. I'm easing everybody in because I know what I'm about to say is going to be music, a symphony to the ears of Golden Knights fans. Mark Stone, for the first time since getting injured on February 20th in a game against the Nashville Predators in which he took a hit from Yakov Trenin, left the game, a hit, by the way, that lacerated his spleen. For the first time since then, Mark Stone was on the ice with his teammates in a red non-contact sweater. And the wild thing about this, to me, is that no one saw it coming. Right? Like, the updates on Mark Stone over the last couple of weeks, very simple. He's not skating. He's really not. There's nothing to report on Mark Stone at all. And then, out of nowhere today, and if you're not following them, you should, VGK Communications and Vegas Golden Knights X account, they let the world know that Mark Stone has been cleared to practice in a non-contact sweater. Now, I know what the immediate impact is. I know what the immediate discourse was surrounding this bit of news for Mark Stone. It's huge. It's massive in the context of what it means, not this week, but beyond. And now, I am here to say that we don't know that this rules Mark in or out for anything. What we do know is that it's a step in the right direction. What we do know is that this is progress in Mark Stone's recovery from his injury. Now, it's great from a Golden Knights perspective because even though Mark will not play in the next four games, having your captain around the team, it means something. Having Mark Stone on the ice in practice means something. Because this team, though they have done well without Mark in the lineup, they know who the catalyst is. They know who their captain is. They know who the leader of this group is, and it's Mark Stone. Now, you can make the argument that Jack Eichel's their most complete forward. I'm not going to push back on that. You need an elite number one center, and Jack Eichel's that guy. You can look at Alex Pietrangelo and quarterbacking the defense. You could look at Noah Hanifin in that spot now, too. There are so many leaders on this team. You want to talk heartbeat. Jonathan Marchessault, it's hard to argue against that. However, what I will say is this. There's something different about Mark Stone. He embodies the Golden Knights. And we know how much pride Jonathan Marchessault has in being a Vegas Golden Knight. But there's a reason why Mark Stone's the first captain in franchise history. There's a reason why he can rally this team in different moments at different times throughout seasons. He means everything to the Vegas Golden Knights. He's the first man to ever raise the Stanley Cup for this franchise. He is synonymous with what it is to be a Vegas Golden Knight. He is the captain that makes sure he is the first guy that trade deadline acquisitions see. He is the guy that gets everybody acclimated. He's the glue that binds this team together. And when you look at it through that lens, even if it takes him a couple of weeks to get ready, even if it takes him a little bit longer to get himself to a point where he can suit up for a game, the impact of having Mark Stone around is going to be felt for this team, not just down the road, but in the immediate future. So with that out of the way, Chris Chapman, Mark Stone, back in practice.
Surprise! I don't think anyone outside of the organization knew that this was coming. Look, I woke up this morning, I ate my breakfast, cooked some eggs, had some yogurt with some granola.
Eggs, yogurt, and granola.
Nice, healthy breakfast for Chapman.
That's fancy.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
how'd you make the eggs?
I make an omelet. I use like Gruyere cheese and some
really fancy
Emmentaler. Yeah, yeah. I like my Alpine.
Do you put any veggies in your omelet?
Usually I'll put either some diced tomatoes or mushrooms or broccoli.
Yeah.
But I was out, so just cheese today.
Just cheese?
Yep, just cheese.
Okay.
So I get up, do all that, jump on Twitter, and what do I see? I see a tweet from Elliot Friedman saying that Mark Stone's returned to practice. Mm-hmm. And to amuse myself, I decide to read the replies.
Why do you do that?
Because it's funny. Mm-hmm. Like watching these weirdos melt down over the fact that Mark Stone is back at practice. And then it goes a step beyond because I see Greg Wyshynski, who I'm a fan of Greg Wyshynski. I like his stuff, but even he's kind of poo-pooing it a little bit. Like, and I'm like, come on, Greg. Like, you're around the NHL a lot. You know, to be fair, one of the few writers who I've seen who actually has done the work is Michael Russo, who's in town tonight, I would assume, covering the Minnesota Wild. He put out an article a couple weeks ago on The Athletic basically telling all these people, you have no idea what you're talking about. And he had quotes from general managers, but I digress. The news that Mark Stone was on the ice today, even if it's in a red non-contact jersey, it's a jolt to the fan base. It's a jolt to the organization, the players, the coaching staff, knowing that there is some light at the end of the tunnel and that you might have your captain. And credit to Jesse Granger. I don't know if he went back and counted everything or if he saw it somewhere else, but he tweeted out, last year when Mark Stone returned to practice in the red non-contact jersey, it was 8 days before the start of the playoffs. Well, today's 8 days before the start of the playoffs. Almost identical, or was identical.
So, okay, I want to pause on that for a moment because I don't want this idea to be out there to be front and center where it's a foregone conclusion that Mark Stone's available for the beginning.
No,
of the
and it's irresponsible on my end to kind of put that out there.
And the reason why I say that is we don't know what this ramp up process is going to look like. We have no idea, right? Nor do we know what the last month and a half, month and 3 weeks have been like for Mark Stone, what he's been able to do, what he hasn't been able to do. And so all of that stuff needs to be taken into context here. As much as you look at it and you say, okay, there's similarities between when he's come back to practice this season versus when he came back to practice last season, I think we can all agree, I think we can all look at it and say, with this injury, we really don't have any idea how long it's going to take Mark Stone to ramp up to 100%. Being cleared for contact is another step you've got to get to, and there are a lot of different boxes that you're going to have to check off in that run in order to get there, and he's not there yet. And so I just want to caution everybody listening to this. Could he? Maybe. But I don't know, and we don't know yet, what that timetable truly looks like for Mark Stone. And until we do, we're just going to enjoy the ride. We're going to enjoy having him back in practice. We're going to enjoy the uplift that he can bring to this team. Chapman, I think you said it's a jolt. It absolutely is. And we'll see where things fall from there. Four more regular season games for the Golden Knights, three more after tonight's game against Minnesota. And then beyond that, when Mark Stone's ready, he'll be ready. And that's going to be an awesome day for Vegas fans.
Yeah, and it's a bad day for whoever they happen to be playing that night. Look, it's awesome. Like, the fans love Mark Stone. I think the media, we really like. I know I enjoy listening to Mark talk because he's just so thoughtful and he's very deep. And he, you know, there have been moments where he could snap on us, and he never has. And you know, I respect him as a player. I respect the guy as a human being. But I think, above all, I respect his determination and his desire to win. Because if we all – I'm going to sound really corny when I say this, but if we all had the same outlook with our particular profession, the way Mark Stone approaches playing hockey, I think the world would be a better place. Because I don't know if there's a player in the league who loves playing hockey – more than Mark Stone loves playing hockey. And as a fan of the game and as a guy who gets to talk to him all the time, knowing that he can't do the thing that he loves the most in this world outside of his family, it's painful. It sucks. It sucks seeing someone who loves something not be able to do it. So from that perspective, I'm really happy that he's back on the ice. I'm really happy that he's back with his teammates because he's the guy. Like, maybe not the most skilled player on the team, certainly not the guy who's going to score the most goals or have the most points, but what he brings does not show up on the stat sheet because it's just this heartbeat that he brings to this organization and this fan base. There's very few players around the league who have the capability to bring that into the locker room the way Mark Stone does. And I think him just being around today is such a boost for this team who, let's be honest, they're reeling a little bit. I think it's going to be a good night for the Golden Knights simply because I feel like his presence alone will resonate through the locker room and really give this team a much-needed boost.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, the most immediate impact you're going to get from Mark Stone being back and around the team is the boost that he will provide for everybody. You have a different energy. You have a different feel. Like, listen, when you don't have your captain around all the time, you start to, I don't want to say question, but you start to kind of just fall into the routine and the everyday practicality of what you've got to do as a player. And then you kind of put it out of mind. But then all of a sudden, you get a glimpse of Stone. You get him back on the ice. You get that compete in drills. And again, non-contact, so we're not talking about full bore yet for Mark Stone at all. But you just get that presence around you while you're on the ice. All of a sudden, everything ratchets up a little bit. And for a team that, you know, I think if everyone's being honest about their performance on Wednesday in Edmonton against the Oilers, for a team that didn't have the urgency, that never really got to their game, I don't think we're going to see that tonight against Minnesota. I think that there's a lot of different reasons to why the Golden Knights are going to have that urgency to start this one, not the least of which is Mark Stone, because I just think that gives you such a boost as you inch closer and closer to the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, it's do or die time. We're getting close to the point where every game means more than the game before it. Having him just around, I think it helps in a lot of ways, and we touched on it a little bit, but I think there's also the aspect of him being a mentor to some of the younger guys. Guys being able to talk to him because he has such a great knowledge of the game. And if things aren't going right, them being able to talk to him and say, hey, you know, what do I need to do here? What do I, you know, there's so much that he brings that I'm excited to see him in the locker room again. Like, I don't think we'll see him tonight, obviously, but we may catch him leaving or whatever. And, you know, just knowing that he's there, his presence, and you touched on it when we first started talking about this, he picked up guys at the airport.
Yeah.
Like, not only is he the captain of the team, but he's an ambassador to this city.
Sure.
And to the organization. And having a guy like him represent our city, a place I've called home for 25 years, a place you've called home for a long time. Mm-hmm. I'm proud that Mark Stone represents our community the way he does and how much love he has for this city. Like, I'm sure he loves a lot of places in his hometown. I'm, you know, but this is where the most important events in his life have happened. Mm-hmm. His child was born here. He won a Stanley Cup here. He was named a captain here. Like, these are significant life moments. And they
scored a hat trick in game five of the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, I mean, here. I think we all, like, he's from Manitoba, but I think Mark Stone, like a lot of other people, he looks at Vegas as home. Like, this is home. And having that guy around our city and having him pick players up at the airport, you know, I know he goes out to dinner with guys on the team a lot. He's around. Mm-hmm. But I think if you're a player and you're down with the way the last three games have gone, and all of a sudden you see the captain skate out there today, or you see him in the locker room getting dressed, you've got to say, hey, you know what? If this guy going through everything, the guy went through a lacerated spleen. Like, I don't even know what that means, but it just sounds like
I love
it's
it.
Unbelievably painful.
I love it when you try to pump something up by saying, I have no idea what that entails.
Yeah, like I don't know how it happens.
It's a very common Chapmanism.
But I don't know, like, how it happens. I'm imagining it's got to be some of the most unbelievable pain.
I mean, like, it's an internal injury, right? Like, it's so hard to understand exactly what that means and then what the limitations are in terms of your recovery. And that's why I wanted to make it very clear that just because Mark's on the ice, a lot of things have to go right for him to get back to the point where he's able to suit up in a National Hockey League game.
Yeah, he might be weeks away from even being able to take contact. I mean, you don't know. We might be talking months. I mean, just because he's back and skating doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be out there game one.
Yeah.
But I'm glad he's back. I'm hoping he gives these guys a boost because I think they need the morality boost. Just based on the way the Edmonton game went the other night, I think I'm expecting a bounce back tonight. I was expecting a bounce back before I saw this news today.
Sure.
But when I saw that news, I was like, oh, man, this is the best news that this team could have gotten today.
You want to talk about rapport, right? Like, you want to talk about morale. You want to talk about a couple of days that boost the spirits for everybody involved with the organization. Noah Hanifin extending, Mark Stone practicing. Like, you couldn't ask for a better 2 days leading up to this game for the Golden Knights after the performance they had Wednesday in Edmonton.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, you get on that plane the other night and you leave Alberta and your heads are down. You're like, what are we doing? What's wrong? What's going on? Maybe you don't have answers to why things went the way they did on that road trip. And then you roll in yesterday for probably some meetings and word starts to trickle out. Hey, we re-signed Hanifin. He's sticking around for the next 8 years.
Is that how you think it happened? Hey, guys,
maybe
listen,
you know, like
no, Hanifin.
Like I don't know if Kelly McCrimmon's calling William Karlsson or calling Pavel Dorofeev on the phone.
I bet they have a group chat.
They might. Yeah, I'm sure they do.
I think it was probably just one text.
You think Hanifin texted like the 20 something other guys on the roster, like, guess what, guys? I'm staying in Vegas.
He might have just sent a meme.
A meme?
Yeah.
Like signed?
Yeah.
Maybe he sent a Stevie Wonder signed, sealed, delivered?
Perhaps.
Yeah.
You'd have to ask him. You should ask him tonight.
They better win, first of all.
No. Come on. I think they're going to win. I'm not too worried about
the game. There's no guarantee that we talk to him tonight.
Chapman, listen, buddy, come on.
I will put this out there.
This is a custom-built question
for you. I know.
If there was ever a Chris Chapman question, it's this. Noah, what meme did you send to the group chat to let everybody know that you were extending here?
Okay.
It's perfect for you.
If we talk to Noah Hanifin tonight, I will ask him that.
Win, lose, or draw?
Win, lose, or draw. Win, lose, or draw.
Okay. Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it in a loss.
Well, depends how bad they lose.
No.
They're not going to lose. They're not going to lose, so it doesn't matter.
I agree with that sentiment, but I'm just saying, like, if the game doesn't go the way we expect it to tonight, yeah, don't ask the question.
Yeah, listen, I don't want to say, hey, Noah, what meme are you sending to the group chat now?
You're not going to do that after a loss.
No, of course not.
But what I am saying is
I don't want to get
the
dirty look from him or GC or India.
The next time you talk to Noah Hanifin, if it happens to be the night after a win, you should ask him.
I will. Yeah. I will. And hey, you know what? Maybe if we don't get to talk to him first and we get to talk to, I don't know, say Paul Connor or Brett Howden, Nick Waugh, we'll ask him, hey, what meme did Noah Hanifin send you guys? And we'll see if they match up. Mm-hmm. We'll see if it matches up. They got to win now.
Or it might just have been like a text, you know.
But I hope guess it was a meme.
My entire argument here is that I don't think it was like a game of telephone. Like, I don't think you had to like pick up the phone and call. I'm guessing, and I don't know this for certain, but like I'm guessing there exists a group chat for the team.
You mean guys talk to each other away from the ice?
This team does.
I know.
They like, love playing with one another. It's amazing.
I'm guessing they probably share restaurant recommendations.
You know, I would even go so far as to say they probably go to dinner together.
I'm guessing they do.
Okay.
In fact, I know that a bunch of the Black Aces would go out to dinner last year during the playoffs. So,
you know, I've had more conversation about Black Aces in the last like week and a half than I ever expected I would.
See, but that's the thing. Mm-hmm. This team, the way it's set up,
sure,
is going to have, if everything goes according to how we hope it does, they're going to have guys in the Black Aces who are legit NHL players.
Sure.
Like, yeah. That's insane to me. Because, like, when I think about other teams around the league, like the Islanders, for example, their Black Aces are going to be made up of guys who play in Bridgeport. Mm-hmm. It's going to be made up of AHL guys. Not a lot of teams have the luxury of having to make that decision where, eh, guess what? You've played 70 NHL games this season. You're a Black Ace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we'll see how it all works out, how it all shakes out for the Golden Knights. Again, if you're just joining us, number one, why? But number two, Mark Stone practiced today for the first time since getting injured February 20th in a game against the Nashville Predators. It was on a hit from Yakov Trenin, lacerated spleen. Stone participated in morning skate today for the Vegas Golden Knights in a red non-contact sweater. So that's the first order of business for Mark Stone. He has been cleared to practice without contact. What comes next is anyone's guess. How long that timeline is, how long that runway needs to be, that's going to be determined with between Mark Stone, the Golden Knights training staff, doctors, all of it. Everything is going to be looked over, watched over to make sure that Mark is putting himself in the best position possible to be healthy and ready to go and cleared for contact, ultimately to play in a game. When that happens, we don't know. Just because he practiced today, it does not put him or pencil him into anything in the future. We will see and keep tabs on this as it progresses over the next week or two or three or however long it takes for Mark Stone to get himself back into a position to be able to play in the National Hockey League. We're going to take a break, come back with more on the VGK Insider Show right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Vegas Golden Knights defenseman Noah Hanifin there on the rejoin, kind of going through some of the process that he used to decide that he wants to play in Vegas for the next eight seasons. That's right, Noah Hanifin yesterday signed an eight-year contract extension for the Vegas Golden Knights, $7.35 million AAV, a great number all the way around. It's great now. It's going to be great in a couple of years, and that's a contract that will age well and will continue to provide value year over year. And one thing Noah mentioned in that bit of audio was that he thinks it's one of the best buildings, if not the best building, to play in the National Hockey League. Speaking, of course, about T-Mobile Arena. And that leads us seamlessly, Chris Chapman, you're a genius, into our topic now. The NHLPA player poll was released a couple of days ago. And for those that don't know, during the course of the regular season, 639 NHL players were surveyed on 15 hockey-related questions. We went over one of the answers yesterday, and that was the fact that the best building, hardest building, whatever you want adjective you want to use, for opposing fans or opposing players to play in is T-Mobile Arena. We talked about how game day production, everything that goes into what you see night in and night out here inside T-Mobile Arena is a win, a win, a win for the Vegas Golden Knights organization. And as you just heard from Noah Hanifin, the latest Golden Knight to go long-term here after a trade, that's a big deal. It's a big deal for players to play in an environment that's fun, that's different, that's unique, that is unheralded in terms of what you get on a night-in, night-out basis from all the other organizations in the National Hockey League. It matters. It does. So with that being said, I figured we would dive into some of the other topics in this NHLPA player poll, and I'm going to test quiz Chris Chapman. Chapman, are you okay with that?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Have you seen the results of the player poll?
I have, and there's one that immediately jumps out to me, and I think it's ridiculous.
Oh, buddy. Buddy, for the bit, you're supposed to say no. I'm okay. Quizzing you.
Well, I haven't seen all of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You just saw like the first seven or eight.
No. I stopped as soon as I saw one, and it drove me nuts.
Really?
Yes, it drove me crazy.
Okay. Well, I'm curious to see what that one is. Okay, so we're going to start off with the first question that appears on the player poll. If you need to win one game, which goaltender do you want on your team? Who do you think won, Chapman?
Who do I think won? Or yeah. who would I vote for?
Or, okay, who would you vote for?
I would vote for Andrei Vasilevsky.
Okay. Well, you would be in the majority there with the rest of the NHLPA. 46.92% of the players polled would take Andrei Vasilevsky. That is 40 percentage points more than the next guy, and it's Igor Shesterkin.
Wow. That's not even close.
It's not, because Andrei Vasilevsky is the best goaltender in the game today. And listen, I know it's been kind of a down year for him by his standards. He just hasn't really gotten himself into the groove. But if you're giving me Tampa and Andre Vasilevsky in a seven-game series, or you need to win a game seven, I'm not going any other direction but Andre Vasilevsky.
Yeah.
As much as I love Igor Shesterkin, I'm not doing it.
No, I'm with you. I'm going to go with Vasilevsky. I'm guessing Hellebuck is on there somewhere too.
Connor Hellebuck is on there. He is fourth,
Ooh. Actually.
So you've got Vasilevsky, Shesterkin, Sorokin, and only 5% of the vote for Connor Hellebuck.
Very interesting that the top three guys are all Russian goalies too.
Well, I think that they have been
they're producing some of the best goalies in the world.
Yeah, it's that next wave, right? I think everything's cyclical. You have really good Canadian goaltenders, and we've kind of gotten into a spot now with solid, really, really good American-born goaltenders, and now you're seeing kind of that influx with, as you mentioned, Shesterkin and Vasilevsky and Sorokin, and then you've got Askarov, who's coming at some point here with the Nashville Predators.
The like, kid with the Flyers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's going to be a lot in terms of Russian goaltenders that are dominating these polls. Okay, next one. If you need to win one game, who is the forward you want on your team?
I want Sidney Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
That's the guy. That's my guy. That's who should win. That's who I would vote for.
Sidney Crosby came in second.
Which is ridiculous.
Really?
Yes.
Is that the one that bothered you?
It is the one that bothered me.
This is the one that bothered you.
This is the one that bothered me for the simple reason.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who won hasn't won the game.
Okay, so for context, everybody, Connor McDavid came in with the number one vote. 48.71% of the players polled said that if they need to win one game, they want Connor McDavid.
No, because he hasn't even made a conference final. He hasn't won the game.
No, that's not true, Chapman. They did make the conference final. They won, I believe, one game against Colorado.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Because
They might have gotten swept.
That was the year Vegas didn't make the playoffs, and we know that had Vegas made the playoffs, they wouldn't. I take that. But that was the no fans year, wasn't it? No, next year. It was next year, no fans year. So you're
not taking Connor McDavid?
No, okay, because he hasn't won the game. He hasn't won a Stanley Cup. I don't want a guy who hasn't won the Stanley Cup as the one player to win the one game for me.
All right, so McDavid was 48% of the votes. Crosby, 11.5% of the votes. Third place, Nathan MacKinnon, 6.5% of the votes, also a Stanley Cup champion. And then you have Nikita Kucherov, 5.5%.
Give me all three of those guys over McDavid.
All three of them, eh?
Listen, they've all won the big game. They've all won the game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. And listen,
Until McDavid wins the game, he shouldn't be on this list.
I know this makes me a dinosaur, but I'm with you. Like, you give me one game, I'm taking Sidney Crosby. Did you watch the overtime period between Pittsburgh and Detroit yesterday?
I unfortunately did not get to catch it, but I know Pittsburgh won. Nedeljkovic gets the W against the Wings.
Buddy, Sidney Crosby, to start overtime, intentionally got himself waived from the faceoff so that the guy coming in for him, and I don't remember who it was, didn't win the faceoff. He allowed Dylan Larkin to win the faceoff. Crosby jumped behind Larkin and stole the puck to start with possession.
Oh my God. It was
brilliant. And then Crosby turned it on. Okay, let's move on to, if you need to win one game, who's the defenseman you want on your team?
Well, one guy, there's a couple that jump out at me.
Who's your number one guy?
The guy won a Conn Smythe trophy
mm-hmm.
just a couple of years ago with the Colorado Avalanche.
Mm-hmm.
I want Cale Makar.
Yeah, that's the overwhelming majority. 56% of the votes for Cale Makar.
I know he hasn't won a cup. I think Roman Josi's probably somewhere on there as well.
He's third, 4% of the votes.
And Hedman probably up there.
Second, 10.5% of the votes.
Yeah. I think those are the three best defensemen. Quinn Hughes maybe jumps on there.
He is fourth with 4% of the votes.
I have no idea who the fifth is.
Adam Fox.
Oh, that's fair. Another guy who hasn't won the game.
Just 2.5% of the votes. I'm with you. I'm Cale Makar all day long. 56% seems overwhelming, yet at the same time, I feel like it's kind of low, right? Like, I feel like Cale Makar is so much better than every other defenseman, and like I get it, point totals matter, whatever. But to me, this is probably like a 65-70% situation for Cale Makar. He's that much better than everybody
else. Yeah, he's on another planet.
Okay. Who's the best stick handler in the game?
Connor McDavid.
Yep, he's the winner. 35.5%. You want to guess who's second on the list?
Kucherov.
No. Kucherov's fourth. Patrick Kane, 20% of the votes.
Ah. Yeah, he's good.
By the way, Jack Hughes comes in third place, 8% of the votes.
Ah.
Here's one for you, Chapman. Who is the most complete player in the National Hockey League?
Well, you and I had the discussion a few months ago about a guy who plays for the Kings.
Sure.
And how he should have, like, multiple Selke awards.
Yep.
I don't care how old he is. He still gets the job done. I think Kopitar is a guy who jumps out at me as one of the best all-around players. Maybe doesn't get the respect because he plays on the West Coast.
Yep.
But he's got to be up there somewhere because he's a treat to watch.
Okay. Kopitar is third place in the voting, 8% of the votes. Here's what I find really interesting. You brought up the Selke Trophy.
Right.
And the most complete player, as judged by the players in the league, is Sidney Crosby.
You know 38%.
But here's the funny thing. Crosby's never won a Selke.
Yeah. Yeah, I was
never even been a finalist.
I have a hard time with that one. But, I mean, Sid is pretty awesome. Like,
okay.
Like anything he wins, I'm here for.
Okay, here's the beautiful thing about this. Do you want to know how many times Sidney Crosby has won this poll for most complete player?
How many years has he been in the league? 18?
No. He's won this 5 years in a row. Sidney Crosby, as judged by the players that he plays against night in and night out, as the most complete player in the National Hockey League.
Wow, that's
and
he's never been a
finalist for the Selke.
Well, maybe the players should start voting on the Selke.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing: Patrice Bergeron. He's been in the league up until last season.
He never won the most
and
complete player.
And Crosby was more complete than Patrice Bergeron. The Selke is a lie, folks.
Now if Bergeron had not retired, I would have said him.
Okay, this is my favorite one. Which player do you least enjoy playing against, but would like to have on your team?
Matthew Tkachuk.
Ooh, Matthew Tkachuk is third.
Really?
Oh, buddy. I'm going to give you a guess as to who number one is.
Tom Wilson.
No.
Really?
No.
Really?
Tom Wilson's fourth?
Jacob Trouba.
Not on the list.
What? Oh.
Pull out the Chris Jericho memes. He's not on the list.
Oh.
Come on.
Trouba is... All right.
Oh, Chapman, buddy. When I tell you,
okay,
you're
going
to kick
yourself. Hold on.
Uh-huh.
Let me rack my brain.
Okay. Well, don't take too long.
Brad Marchand.
There it is. Did you look it up?
No.
Okay. Yeah, Brad Marchand. 29% of the votes.
I
love Brad Marchand.
I like him, too. I like watching him play. I think he's matured a lot as a player.
Yep.
But to me, Matthew Tkachuk, because he's a pest.
He's calmed down.
Yeah,
he's...
but I think he's a lot more physical than Bergeron. Mm-hmm. Than Marchand. I would not want to be on the other end of Matthew Tkachuk's hijinks.
I wouldn't want to be. Well, no, you wouldn't. But you'd love him on your team.
Yes, that's it. That's it, right? Like he's the guy you hate when you play against. But you want him. I want Matthew Tkachuk.
Here's the thing with Marchand that I think is worth noting. You want him on your team because not only does he agitate people, but he's also a really good leader, which seems ridiculous,
but it's the truth. Captain, right?
And he scores. He's good. Like, he's the best player in terms of fitting this mold that I think you can go to. So I love that. I love that look for Brad Marchand. We got to take a break. We come back. Legal in Minute with Sam and Ash. That's coming at you on the VGK Insider Show.
It's time for the Legal Minute with Sam and Ash on the VGK Insider Show.
Hey, it's the Legal Minute with Sam and Ash. If you're in a crash, call Sam and Ash 702-820-1234 or go to samandashlaw.com. Right now we have Ash Watkins with Sam and Ash joining us as she does every week. Ash, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
You know, I'm doing well. Before we get into a couple of these topics, Noah Hanifin extends for the Vegas Golden Knights. Mark Stone practices today for the Vegas Golden Knights as a Golden Knight fan. How have the last couple of days been for you?
Oh, I've loved reading all of this news about our team. I'm so excited. I love seeing Mark Stone healthy enough to at least put on the no-contact jersey and skate this morning. I'm all about it. Perfect timing.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Just a couple of games left in the regular season, then we get into the postseason. The Golden Knights a chance to clinch their spot in the playoffs today. Now, let's get into Teslas and autopilot crashes. And so this is an interesting story. Walter Hong was killed when his Tesla struck a concrete highway median. It was in the autopilot mode. Can you kind of walk us through some of the intricacies of this case? Because it did come to a head.
Yeah, absolutely. So these self-driving vehicles and the accidents that they cause are creating this kind of new, you know, unknown for everyone out on the roadways and who is responsible. So remember, when you're injured in a crash or you have property damage, whoever pays for that damage is the person at fault. Well, what we're learning now is with these self-driving cars, sometimes it's not a human at fault, it's the car itself. So you're looking to a different person or entity now to pursue your damages that you sustain. And so here, this car was in the self-driving mode, and as a result of that, allegedly, it caused a crash, and so that's why they were pursuing Tesla, and here Tesla settled.
So when you start to think about kind of the those autopilot modes, how much, just from like maybe a verbiage standpoint from the auto manufacturer, how much verbiage is there that there needs to be some accountability for the humans that are also in the vehicle, that you have to still, at a minimum, be paying attention?
Yeah, 100%. Have you driven any of these or been behind the wheel?
I have been in a Tesla. I have not driven a Tesla. I've seen some of the autopilot things, but not a lot of them.
Oh, my gosh. So our law firm thought it would be a great idea to test it out, and they put me behind the wheel, and they had a bunch of cameras on me. Honestly, it's a little terrifying. You know, you're trained growing up to be responsible for the vehicle, and then to kind of just let go and is slightly terrifying. The cars make some herky-jerky movements at times, and but Tesla does try to instill warnings and requirements that your hands have to be on the wheel, that you, the human, are the driver and are still the last line of defense, so to speak. And so, and they've even implemented requirements where if they don't feel your hands on the wheel, it'll shut off the automated driving. And that's kind of problematic also because people have found workarounds.
In what ways?
In what way have they found workarounds? I've heard people put like hot drinks. They've like wedged them between the steering wheel,
really?
So it feels like a hand is holding and it's getting pressure. I've heard all kinds of weird stories, but so ultimately, it's a problem for Tesla that they need to resolve.
So I got a follow up to this because I think it was it Mitch McConnell, whose sister in law was killed in the same way as the story we're talking about. I think she was in a Tesla, and from what I remember, the car drove into a lake. But at what point will the federal government get involved here and start to put restrictions on these autopilots or self-driving cars? Because it seems like it's not only a danger to the person in the car, but it's a danger to everyone else on the road if these things go haywire.
100%. I don't know what it's going to take the federal government to get involved, but what you'll notice is insurance companies for Tesla and these drivers are not going to want to take on this risk. And so it's kind of similar to when people started using their everyday vehicle to drive Uber and DoorDash and all of these app-based delivery services. Insurance companies started carving out exclusions in their policy, saying, if you use your vehicle for an app-based purpose, we're not covering you. And so what I anticipate happening is insurance companies are going to increase premiums for this, or they're going to carve out Tesla's liability on this. And that's where you're really going to see who's bearing the responsibility. And if insurance companies don't want to insure that risk of these autonomous vehicles, it's going to make it very difficult for them to sell.
And so let's just say, for the sake of argument, you're out, you're around town, and you are in an accident with a vehicle that is in autopilot mode. Maybe there's a human being there in the vehicle, but it's the vehicle itself that hits you, not necessarily the human being. What do you do in that situation?
100%. Great question. If, assuming you're able to, you know, get to safety, make sure you're on the side of the road and you're able to, but take photos of the damage, the scene to your vehicle, their vehicle, license plates, VIN numbers. Try to exchange information with the person that's in the vehicle. If there's passengers, get their names. And if not, call the police. Get the police to come out. I know you have to wait at the scene for a while for that to happen anymore, but do it. They'll make sure that you get that information exchanged, and they'll even sometimes assist with writing up a police report.
And if that describes you, if you're listening and something like that has happened to you, if you have more questions, further questions, Ash, how could somebody get in touch with you?
702-820-1234 or samandashlaw.com. Or you can just find me in the stands of a VGK game wearing a jersey with Ash on the back. Come up to me.
All right. Great stuff, as always, Ash. We look forward to talking to you next week. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll chat soon.
Yeah, you too, guys. Talk to you then.
That is Ashley Watkins with samandashlaw.com. If you're in a crash, call Sam and Ash, 702-820-1234, or go to samandashlaw.com. On the other side of the break, we're going to play the hockey parlay contest, Michael E. Minden. 702-876-1340, caller number 8. Caller number 8. We're going to get to you in hour number 2 of the VGK Insider Show.
This has been the Legal Minute with Sam and Ash on the VGK Insider Show, brought to you by Sam and Ash. Visit them at samandash.com because you deserve what's right.